It's Michelle, and this is January 10th, 2019. This is our first call in the Abundance Series, and we will begin, as we have been beginning for the last three quarters of a year, on these Thursday classes in Shavasana. So find a place where you can be comfortable, where you can comfortably lie down, video on or off for this part, whatever is comfortable for you, doesn't matter to me for this section. And you can be seated in meditation if you're not in a place where you can lie down. If you are driving, please pull over. I want to make sure that I've got the right headset on when I was teaching on Tuesday. Hopefully you can all hear me, and put something in the chat if you can't, all right? So create space around you, not bumping into chairs, tables, books. The practice is a metaphor. Create space. It's a metaphor. It tells us what else is happening in our lives, in our companies. Lying on your back, place some support beneath your head and neck, but not beneath the shoulders. Could be a pillow or a blanket. And extend through the back of the neck. So you can actually hold the back of the head with the four fingers. The thumbs are more like at that chin and along the line of the chin. And then just extend through the back of the neck. So make the back of the neck long and the chin tilts forward just slightly. So again, forehead higher than, or at least level with the chin. When the chin is up, it creates a busy mind. Head and neck well supported, but not the shoulders. This will allow you to go into Shavasana more deeply and more quickly when the head and neck are properly supported, touching the shoulders. Bend the knees, take the flesh of the buttocks, move that flesh toward the heels, then extend one leg out and then the other. You can slide the heel along the floor and then let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. If you have any low back issues, you can place a rolled blanket, or if you have one, a bolster beneath the thighs. And the higher you have the legs, the more the back releases. So that's an adjustment you can make if you have any back issues or you have any back discomfort today. You can even put the calves up on a chair or on your couch or whatever you have around you. The higher the legs are, the more the low back relaxes. If you're comfortable just lying in full Shavasana, I suggest you do so. Again, the legs are released. Bend the elbows for a moment. Dig the elbows into the floor and lift and open the heart center. None of these actions done mechanically. What is it to do this action today, here and now? How does the breath feel as you open the chest more? Can you feel the rhythm of your heartbeat? What happens as you open your heart? Then release the arms into a low V, palms up position. And just notice the fingers as you are resting the arms on the floor, about 30 degrees away from the body. You can softly close the eyes and sense into the fingers. The fingers are often telltale. When I used to teach yoga classes weekly, somebody with outstretched fingers and the fingers so filled with tension and white, it tells me about their life. And the life is still as it is, but we can start the process of relaxation. Start the process of ease, of centeredness, which brings a deeper knowing when we simply relax the fingers. Not curling the fingers because you're trying to curl the fingers. They naturally curl when the body is at ease, when the mind, heart, spirit is at ease. So feel softness at the center of the palms. Let the softness travel up the arms, to the shoulders, neck, throat, face. Be at ease. With each breath, feel yourself releasing deeper and deeper toward the earth, releasing to the force of gravity, feeling the support of whatever you have beneath you, the rolled blankets or pillows or floor. Know that you are supported. And then just let go. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Relax the forehead. Soft, no wrinkles. Releasing. Soften the space between the eyebrows. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Relax the jaw all the way up to the hinge near the ears. Feel that letting go that happens right in the body, right at the cellular level. And today, I want us to notice that face that you hold out in the public, wanting to be someone. You can let that face go. It doesn't need to be here right now. Let it go. Recall the face you hold for your family and loved ones. That face too is not needed here. Like a mask we put on, let that go as well. The face you hold for your company, your business, your work in the world. Let that go. Feel the release in all the tiny muscles of the face, the deep release, no holding anywhere, quiet ease. And in this quiet place, watch the breath. Let all else go, except the sound of my voice guiding you. Feel the ears receding, so it's like the sound of my voice comes from far away. The eyes recede toward the back brain, pratyahara, one of the eight limbs of yoga, withdrawal of the senses. Go inward. Watch the breath. Be the breath. As thoughts arise, as thoughts will, gently, without judgment, let them go. It's not needed right now. Just let them wither away due to lack of attention, no matter how important they might seem in the moment they arise. They're not here, they're not now, so they're not important. You're here only with the breath and the sound of my voice. Watch the breath. Feel the deep ease that comes with the breath in this moment. Worries, cares, planning, anticipation, regret, all those happen somewhere other than here. In this moment, there's just the breath. And in this breath, prana, life force energy, all is well. Know that all is well as you watch the breath. As you breathe, and when you practice on your own as well, but in this moment, feel that with the breath, there's a dissolving of boundaries between arm and floor, between person and person, between you and the universe. Those boundaries dissolving. So there's only the breath, you being breathed by the universe. Knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana. It begins just with the thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees. Gently roll to the right side. Support your head and take your time. The training of focus happens here in this in-between, coming out of Shavasana, moving into the world. Can you focus here? We often fuzz out and lose attention. Softly open the eyes. The gaze is soft, unfocused, just a few inches ahead of you on the floor. Use the hands, keep the gaze toward the floor as you slowly press yourself up to sitting. And join our virtual circle. I'll know you've done so as the videos start to pop on. Sergio, yours is still on. So nice to share this with you visually as well and know you're there. So coming back to our circle. Videos coming on. And this practice of Shavasana may have, hopefully, was different than any other time. If we're actually present, we're noticing the differences. But especially because we had our two-day virtual retreat last week, high-ticket virtual retreat, yoga for entrepreneurs, the very first time we put them back-to-back. I've been watching you talking about alternate nostril breathing. Thank you for that. I have never taught that in this community ever in the 9 years in its existence that I can remember. And you guys picked that up like wildfire in beautiful ways. Thank you. Or like calm presence. So this practice may have been different from all that you've learned about Shavasana, corpse pose, about practicing it after the asana, after the postures. And because of the repeated practice, we go deeper, we notice new things. So what was beautiful today? What would you like to share about this practice today? Who would like to go first? Cheryl, thank you.
Good morning. I have kind of a cold, so I was thinking, God, how am I going to breathe and, you know, do it right or whatever. I go, let it go. Every time you said, let it go, like, let it go, it doesn't matter right now. So helpful.
So good. We learn it right in the body. Then we're on stage. Oh, that happened. Let it go. It doesn't matter right now. And then it happens in talk with your team. Oh, let it go. It doesn't matter right now. Right. So yes, it's a continual practice and a moment by moment practice. And so we normally breathe through the nostrils in Shavasana and we breathe through the nose. But if you can't breathe through the nose, breathe through the mouth. Oh, it's all good. Right. I probably haven't even talked to you about that very much. There's multiple aspects in and around Shavasana. But I do what I can today. And that energy of, I let it go. I do what I can today. It's all good. Brings amazing things to our businesses and our lives. Helps us let go of ideas. So if you were there for the practical applications call, and Karen Jones saying, oh my goodness, well, I don't have anything in common with these people. I'm going to start my talk from that. Right? Oh, let it go. That's not so. I can come from a place of so much more ease and then the words come out differently. So I let it go. I let it go right at that cellular level in this practice. Cheryl, beautiful. Thank you. Let's hear from one more of you, Cindy. What was beautiful for you today?
It was more just different. And I'm speaking out because I felt so much tension in my throat. Mm-hmm. And so I'm making it a point to not allow that to slow me down and just I'm speaking out about it here and now.
Beautiful. And tension in the throat chakra, something that I can't speak perhaps, something that is caught in my throat. We have expressions that teach us about what that might mean in our bodies. And then whatever it is, I let it go. I come back to presence. I let it go. I come back to the breath. I let it go. I keep moving forward. I let it go. I know that something's moving through me. That's all good. I don't know what it is right now. I come back to this. Phenomenal practice. Yes. And also let it go of, you know, what the practice was last time. The angels were singing and the heavens opened. This time my throat is stuck. And it's all good. There's a letting go in the practice as well of what this practice feels like today. My expectation that it has to take a particular shape. Then I'm in a strategy session with somebody. I think it's supposed to take a particular shape. and it doesn't. Oh, well, I follow what is instead of hammering away what I think it should be. Then I can be present with that person. Let it go. My throat, let it go. Beautiful. I think there's one more here. I want to comment first and then want to hear from one more of you. If you've been around for even a little while, or if you've been around since we started doing Shavasana, can you feel, I know I feel it, the depth of this practice growing collectively in our community? Yeah, Cindy, deep nod there. Cheryl, yes, you got it. Yes. So beautiful. Can't wait when we come together in Mexico, because having practiced this for this long, we can take it deeper. We can take it, we can move faster. We can go to a whole other place. And as this practice grows, everything that we hear on these calls, our ability to hear grows, our ability to take it in, our ability to focus on it and use it grows. So overjoyed. And you are the community ready for these teachings. Each and every one of you, you amaze me, you inspire me. Thank you. Let's hear from one more of you just briefly in and around Shavasana, because I'm just feeling this. I thought it was going to be two, but I knew there was another one. It's Marie. Thank you.
I came in late and I sat rather than lie down, but even for the few breaths that I had, it's amazing how spacious it is, even in like four or five breaths.
Thank you for that. You're in the middle of a launch. Take time to take a few breaths. You're in the middle of something going on in the family. Take a few breaths. Somebody is ill around you and you have to go to the hospital to care for them. Whatever, take a few breaths. And where I learned this most deeply was in and around 2009. So it's 2009. And so before this community even started, it began in 2010. I was teaching in other ways. I was just a couple of years away from having taught at the university. And I was taking courses, many of you know, with Peak Potentials. Their summer camps are crazy. So without giving content and detail away, if you talk to anybody in and around Peak Potentials, I don't know what they're doing these days, but you would know this much, so I'm not giving anything away of their programs, but it's those summer camps, they're very intensive, and there's barely time to eat or sleep. And they really do push all your buttons in order to see who you are and grow to a different level. So as we're doing that, and in the intensity of it, and the having your buttons pushed to see where they are and to grow to a different stage, others around were often quite unbalanced. I wasn't always my best balanced self, right? But even in the intensity of that, I would begin my day, and sometimes there was just the opportunity for a few breaths. And it changed what happened around me. So as people were freaking out or, you know, not able or, you know, bumping into themselves in multiple different ways, each time I'd end up by default becoming we would be in groups of 50, for instance, trying to organize something. And I would end up as leader in that group because, and I think a big part of that, if somebody would nominate me or somebody would, you know, award me with or whatever. And I really think a huge part of that was those couple of breaths, exactly what Marie said. I would take those couple of breaths. And as Thich Nhat Hanh, the amazing a Vietnamese Buddhist monk nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize by Martin Luther King Jr. He said, you know, one person who is aligned, who is present, is more powerful than millions who are not. And we can come to that state of presence just with the breath. You walk onto stage differently. You take a breath there. It's one of the things they trained us with at Train the Trainer, a 5-day intensive that I took years ago on, you know, how to be on stage. And one of the things they taught us there, what's the very first thing you should do when you come on stage? Breathe. They're not yoga teachers. They're not, it's personal development training and business training. It's the very first thing they did. And then when they were teaching us life directions. How do you find what your purpose is? It's a 3-day intensive that I went to. And then I brought my daughter the next year for another 3 days. So 6 days of training of life about what your life purpose is. And where they started, most people in the audience wouldn't have known what he was talking about, but the trainer started with a quote from Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. So it begins there. They're not yogis, but they're borrowing from those traditions because those traditions tell us how to breathe, how to be present, how to gather our energy, how to step into no matter what situation with that sense of presence and ease. All that from let's start by breathing for a few minutes here. Beautiful. Thank you. All right. What I would love to do, how I'd love to start, this is our first call in the Abundance series. This is a call that I talk about often, even if you haven't, even when you're just joining the community, because it's the start of our year. And it's about practice. How do we create practices that support us? It's a great thing to do at the beginning of the year. How do we create abundance practices? What would that even mean? So what is it? Why does it matter? And how do we do it? That's the essential message of today's call. And there's a couple of great questions posted. Thank you, Marie and Sheila. So we'll get to your questions as well. Marie, I'm going to ask you to repost the gap one for, if you haven't seen that yet, for practical applications. So we're going to handle that one there. So before we do that, I would love to hear both. I've got a couple of announcements to make, and then I want to hear a couple things about what's rolling for you. So reminder, we just did the high ticket virtual retreat. We are in the midst of the game. If you missed the high ticket virtual retreat and you don't know what that means, man, listen to the recordings as quickly as you can. Take a whole day aside and do it as though you were there live. You will get much more out of it. Pair up with somebody who's going to listen to that with you if you can. Otherwise, just do it on your own. Pamela listened to the whole thing on her own the first time she did it and just, you know, posted, I think, on the Facebook page. I can't remember if she had somebody partner up with her or not. It's happened multiple times in the community. So know those teachings. There's not anything that's extra at the high ticket virtual retreat. Everything that we do there is essential in order to create those high ticket sales. And this year, for the first time, we paired it with Yoga for Entrepreneurs. Now, I think that's had an effect on our community too, an interesting effect. And we have started out differently with the high ticket virtual retreat sometimes. And there's multiple different ways to start. I did say, and I truly believe this community, this Love Your Words community, we all collectively have the greatest energy, the greatest potential to create the greatest successes in that high ticket virtual retreat. And to use that, to use this time between now and our deadline for that of Valentine's Day, February 14th, to set up practices in our businesses and our lives for the entire year and for the rest of our business lives. So this time is really precious for setting up those practices. And we've had an interesting thing happen because we paired that for the first time with the, I think this is why it happened, because we paired it with Yoga for Entrepreneurs. So many of you grabbed onto that, and I'm so glad about it. And it teaches calmness, it teaches presence, it teaches alignment. And so sometimes in the first week, we've had, you know, about 7 high ticket sales among us, right? Sometimes, right? And sometimes, you know, in that first month, we've had, you know, 20 sales. That's what we did last time around. And this time around, there's not been that much activity on the Facebook forum in and around that. I think for the very first time, we've had the least activity in and around that. And it's on me, because we paired that, and I think with greater depth and understanding, and we will take this further because of that pairing of the high ticket virtual retreat and Yoga for Entrepreneurs. But I think it means that we're starting out with more presence and mindfulness and alternate nostril breathing, right? So I think everything has gone right. Nothing has gone wrong, but I want to light that fire underneath us again. And we didn't get to we got to the yamas, but we didn't get to the niyamas. So those ethical practices in yoga. And one of them I talked about briefly, but I want to underline it here and do a brief teaching around the Yoga Sutras for a minute. There is ahimsa, non-violence, non-harming. And can we be non-violent, non-harming toward our own bodies, toward ourselves, toward the person we're in the strategy session with, toward the people in our audience? How can we have that attitude of gently taking care for everything in and around us? You are kind-hearted, amazing people. So I know that that's your way of being. And then we always have our days, ask my daughter, right? So we have our moments. How can we create more and more of that? And then paired with ahimsa, non-violence, non-harming, Mr. Iyengar, my yoga teacher, the founder of the tradition I teach in, says these two need to be paired together. Otherwise, we don't get there. We don't get to that place of non-suffering. We don't get to all of who we are. We talked more about ahimsa, and we didn't talk about tapas. Tapas is burning zeal. Tapas is like whatever it takes. Tapas is, and if we only have the one, non-violence, non-harming, we might only sit. And we end up tamasic. In the yoga tradition, it's like kind of TV blob, the negative version of tamasic, right? Don't do anything. So we need to light that fire under us. We need tapas. We need that zeal of practice. We need that zeal of what am I actually doing? What am I bringing into the world? So I wanted to bring that into our circle and then reignite and remind you that today is the day. It is the deadline. And hopefully that was sent out to you. I think I mentioned it on a call, but if you have not yet entered into the game, that's like putting your $10 in. I think it's michellegunderson.com/game or michellegunderson.com/the game. I look forward to it every time we meet. Thank you, Cindy. I don't know if that was about, I didn't see when that comment got posted, if it was about Shavasana or the high ticket virtual retreat, but whatever it is, I'm glad you look forward to it. I just happened to see that over there. All right. So the game, if you want to enter in, it's $10. I suggest that everyone enter in. If you're not, then why are you not? Where else? What else are you not entering into? This is a really good deal. We have never lost the game. And it's promising 5 times your money back, right? So, and then you start to get it in your cells. It's not promise. You gotta do the work, right? If we don't win the game, we've won every other time, but I don't know if we're going to win this time or not. It's a new game, right? But assuming we win, when we win, when you decide that you're going to win collectively, That $10 turns into 50. I've never offered like a 5-fold return on your money before, right? And then you get in your cells right at the beginning of the year. I do something. I work collectively. I put the effort in. I make strategic choices. And it comes back to me 5-fold. What a beautiful abundance practice for the beginning of the year. So make sure that you entered into the game. If for some reason you missed that deadline or you're listening to this a week later and you missed it, you can still participate, but you can't get that 10 to 50. You're just going to have to imagine it. I would still encourage you to engage. But man, if you're listening live and you haven't engaged yet, I would be doing that right now so you can be fully in the game and think about what our words mean, to be fully in the game of our lives, of our businesses, right? So I want to, there's been so much on the Facebook page about the Yoga for Entrepreneurs, and I'm thrilled about that. For me, it was a beautiful moment. I think though that pairing was worth the entire year when we've got years to hear. Do you understand what I'm saying? What we did there is not done out there in the industry. That kind of pairing is not usual. And I think that's worth the entire year when you actually enact it, engage in it, really get it. And Grace, thank you, because you're right at the middle of my screen. I can hear, see your, yes, I got it, yes. So go back to it. There's more there than meets the eye. Remember I said Yvonne, oh, it was her third time around at the High Ticket Virtual Retreat when she really heard what was happening in part two. And then she was just saying, wow, there's another level of that I've got to access. So I want to reignite that fire. And I would love to, and I want to remind you of some of the things that you can do. I suggest that you work this with your buddy. And if you don't have a buddy yet, and I think Sergio, you are our newest member, and I don't think you have a buddy yet, right? Okay, so Sergio needs a buddy. You guys know how this goes, right? Let me remind you, you start out with a buddy at the beginning. If you're in a buddy with two people and it's like how you do anything is how you do everything, are you welcoming people into your circle? You ought to be. If you have a business, you want to welcome people into your circle, right? So you've got a part, you've got a pair. Then you have room for a third person. Then you become like a triplet or something, right? So you can bring that third person on. If you have three, you still have room for one more person. Then you've got four, and then it becomes like cells dividing. You divide into two groups of two again so that we have an ongoing way of onboarding people. And the we divide that up so that we always have a chance for those who've been around for a while. We figured this out in the summer, I think it was. Those who've been around for a while to pair with new people, it benefits both the people coming in. And so let's look at, for instance, Sergio and Marie, who are, you know, our longest standing and our newest member. Marie knows tons about what's going on in the community. She used to do all the transcripts. She knows some of the calls better than I do in the way we've taught them before and so on, right? So she's been to retreats that I don't even teach anymore, 3 times over, the Loving Kindness Retreat. Lots of experience and wisdom there. Sergio comes in with fresh eyes. Sergio comes in with a whole vast other background. What he brings here, Sergio comes in with an Australia perspective. It's different. It's a different time zone. It's a different way of thinking and being. So for instance, and I'm not suggesting that. I think Marie's all, maybe she's already in a partnership, in a buddy group. I don't know. It could be Marie, could be anybody else. But as we pair up, they're just giving that example of experience and newness. There is a freshness that happens. And Sergio will, Marie goes, I already know that about one piece. And Sergio goes, what does that mean? And Marie goes, oh, wait, I thought I knew what it meant. I don't know what it means right now. Right? So Sergio is our newest member. Grace, I think you're our second newest member, but you have a buddy now, right? Yes. So Sergio needs a buddy. So who has room in your group? That should mean everybody, right? So whoever's hand goes up first, Marie. Oh, and I was talking about Marie. How appropriate to that. Sorry, Sheila, you missed it. Right? So
Sergio's in our small group too, which is pretty cool.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
The other thing I wanted to mention is I believe that Anne also needs a buddy again.
Anne, okay, awesome. So Anne, do you need a buddy? All right, so Grace is raising her hand. So Anne, you are now, because Marie is saying so, I just believe, trust in the serendipity of the universe, right? Anne and Grace, you are now buddies. And if you go, wow, but I've got like four buddies now, there's four of us in the group, well then split. It doesn't mean you also can't get together sometimes as that larger group. Be creative in how you use this. And then it also gives you a chance, as you're here longer, you may be paired with different people at different times, and the richness of that cannot be underestimated. So Anne, you're buddies now? Yes, perfect. Love it. Okay. So lean in with your buddy. I would be on a call with them today. And if you can't be on a call because you're in different time zones and you're sleeping or awake or whatever it is, or you got a full day of something, then tomorrow. But beyond that call, spend an hour, and I would be brainstorming with that buddy. How am I going to find and make that offer this week, today? What are the pieces that I need? What questions should I be asking Michelle on all of the calls and in the Facebook forum so that I can really use this? And one of the things that I learned at Peak Potentials too, how you do anything is how you do everything. How are you making use of this opportunity to fivefold your investment? How are you making use of it? Right? It's like, wow, I would use it. It's a tremendous opportunity. We set it up as a game that you can win. It's not assured, but a game you can win when you work together, and that's how companies grow too. I can't even say the word. What is it? Competition. Forget the word. It's not my framework. Sometimes it can be a useful framework to step into, but I really believe in what Alex Mendoza called it, co-opetition. You know, sometimes we work together with, sometimes people directly in our field, those are our best people to partner with, and you know, we can help each other out and so on. So working together. I think the other thing that I would like to call on, so I'm just lighting a fire for you and with for us about the high ticket virtual retreat. And then if you start to like panic and freak out about it, or you're worried about it, tap in with Yoga for Entrepreneurs. Do some alternate nostril breathing. Know that all is well, and take that next step. They work together hand in hand. I think we'll have the most tremendous results we've ever, ever, ever had because of that pairing. It's the very first time we've done that. Connect with your partner. If you have a small group, connect with your small group as well. Those 2 hours out of your life this week, so a call with your small group, if you have one, a call with your buddy, that could move the game forward for you like nobody's business, which moves what we do before February 14th. Remember, people say it takes 30 days to make a habit, and I've given you more than 30 days to make sure it's really underlined, and we're a week in. We're already a week in, so what are we doing, right? What are you doing? How are you going to make use of this? And that is the foundation for the rest of your year. And the other thing that I love to do is I would love a couple people who just want to volunteer. And it's like, I'm going to spearhead it. Maybe I've done tons of high ticket sales, or I haven't done a single one. I'm just new to this, or I've been experienced, whatever it is. Who would like to step up? I'd like to see one or two or three leaders in the community. And man, when there's a chance to step up to leadership, and then watch what's happening inside you. As I even say it, is there a pullback? Wow, I got so much to do. I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to. Then you're bringing that into your company too in other places. So one or two or three of you who want to step up as leaders, and by leaders, it's like you might be checking in with people randomly. I don't know how you're going to do it. Hey, have you connected with your buddy yet? How's it going? You might be posting in the Facebook page. Erin has already raised her hand. So Erin is one of our leaders for the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. Erin, fantastic. Yes, and you have made fabulous use of the High Ticket Virtual Retreat before. And I remember your excitement. You're saying, you didn't even get to do it live last time. This time you've done it live, and fabulous. Thank you for raising your hand. One or two or three. So do we have another? I feel like an auction. Anyone want? We're going once, going twice. Right? So Erin and Grace and Sheila are our leaders for the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. Thank you for stepping up. You might be on a call altogether. And man, you know that, like, how are we going to do this? What should we do? What will further this the most, right? And Marie, will you send me a note? Just text me really briefly and go, let me, just so Grace and Erin and Sheila, are, it should be very evident and obvious, even by tomorrow, who those leaders are, all right? Because you'll be posting the Facebook forum. When you might, Erin, you have, so Grace, you have that newness and freshness like I was talking about. Erin and Sheila, you have some experience. You've both had at least one other time around with the high ticket virtual retreat. So, and Grace, you bring experience about making high ticket offers already from it, you know, the what learning you have. So we've got some fantastic leaders on the campus now for the high ticket virtual retreat. You might be posting, you might be watching, like I just did. I just posted, hey, what's your big why for doing high ticket? I posted another comment on there, and it's like, what if we could have 500 reasons? What if everyone could add to that that post? So that might be one of the places you're looking, the Facebook forum. You might be, I would love one of the three of you to step up to post in the Facebook forum, a place for high ticket wins. And I want you to know that a high ticket win is, I reached out and called somebody. I put a name on a list of somebody I'm going to call. We count all the wins all along the way. So who among you, Grace or Erin or Sheila, will be first, who's going to start that thread of, here's a place for high ticket wins, and you'll start with one of your own wins. Grace, I saw you first, that's Grace. And then Sheila, what you're going to do is think, well, what else? And you might draw on some experience from before. What were some of the things that helped in the high ticket virtual retreat before? Go and post that in the Facebook forum. And then what else could you invent? So let's get another posting from Sheila. What else can you post? And Erin, you have some experience. What else can you invent? What could have been helpful last time around? And will you spearhead that, whatever it is? So I want you to spend at least 5 minutes thinking about what will help up-level the whole community. It might be even finding out if there are people who haven't put in their $10 yet, and encouraging them to put that in today. So there might be a post about that. It might be encouraging people to get in with their buddy. It might be pointing people to there's a whole bunch of trainings beyond the high ticket virtual retreat. There was a 4-hour training on how to find your high ticket client tomorrow. Now, Amy's going to make those easier to find in the forum once we've got the abundance forum up, but they actually are there and you can find them when you look, right? So there's multiple places and multiple lines of support. And all of this, by the way, is abundance training. You get it? Seeing how much is there, how much supports us. We're already getting into the abundance series, and having abundance and high ticket paired could not be better. We've never done that before to my memory, right? So three leaders on the campus. Let's talk about actually how you're going to, I didn't know I was going to do this. I just, oh, this feels really good. It came up in me to do something for you for the high ticket virtual retreat as we begin. High ticket virtual retreat creates the conditions of abundance for you too, and requires an abundance mindset to really do it. So again, this is right in the energy of the abundance series. Grace, Erin, and Sheila, I want to hear like just half a minute. What are you going to bring to the table as leading for high ticket virtual retreat? Just off the cuff, it could be your own qualities, it could be something you're going to do, so that we all hear what we're going to see in you. So Grace.
I can be the best cheerleader for other people to get moving and go forward. I love cheering people on and having them bring out the best.
Yay, beautiful, concise, on the spot, right there, beautiful, thank you. Erin, you're next on my screen. What are you going to bring to the table?
Lots and lots of practice and lots of no's that I've heard. I think that's just so invaluable, because until you get to that place, especially at the beginning, I got lucky on my very first high ticket call. She said yes. But then I think like everyone after that for a long time said no, but there were great learning opportunities in that. And I can definitely relate to both the yeses and the noes, and so much learning that's come from getting all of those noes.
Erin, fantastic. And I'm sure I've told the story. One of my friends, it took 37, I think it was, noes before she got to her first yes. So what is it to have a practice of making offers in today's call about practice and about abundance, right? So fantastic. Thank you. All those noes, you are a million light years ahead of where you'd be if you just wait and you want to make sure that it's a yes and not sure on which person, like, go ahead, just do it. Make a bunch of mistakes. Have people get upset with you, or some of them might. It's okay, right? It's not your ideal client. And maybe there's an ideal client, but they slipped away. And maybe then you learn that skill of, man, if I could hold the space just a little more, and then you know what question to ask because you watch for when it happens. So watching the no is fantastic, and you can hear the experience that comes from this. Beautiful, Erin. Yes. Sheila, what do you bring to the table as leader in the high ticket virtual retreat game?
I'm going to help maintain tapas throughout the game.
Yes, thank you. Tapas, burning zeal. Because watch that. And that's very wise, Sheila. I love that. Because here's the thing. We're all excited the day of the high ticket virtual retreat. Then we went into Yoga for Entrepreneurs. Never happened before. And then we're all remembering about that. And we forget about what we just learned. I am learning as we do it this way. Like, that's so interesting. So interesting. So how do we maintain that? And there'll be times where we're energized and people are making high ticket sales and then you're posting them and you're sharing your wins. And then it's a week later and we've forgotten because maybe we bumped into a no or whatever it is. So how do you maintain that energy? And maybe sometimes you maintain that energy. Maybe today we need Shavasana because somebody's trying too hard or whatever it is, right? So then you need to take a rest and back off. It's not a 24/7 kind of thing that gets us there either. So, but maintaining that burning zeal in balance with ahimsa, right? So beautiful. We've never had leaders before. This just came to me this morning. So I've never appointed leaders before. Love this. I think it's going to be super fun. Now, let's say you're not one of those three leaders. Well, what's your role? Well, I'm going to sit back and wait. So Sherry's right on my screen underneath Grace here. So how perfect metaphorically. So Sherry's like, I know Sherry's not this person at all. So, but imagine Sherry with this person's like, okay, well, Grace is a leader. So I'm just going to wait for something to happen. Right? So not Sherry. So Sherry, will you model for us, if you're not the person who put up your hand first to be a leader, you can lead from any position. You can lead from the back of the room. So you all also, we have three appointed leaders, but you know, what role are you going to take on? So Sherry, since you're not the person who put up your hand to be one of those leaders, well then what's your role? Can you tell us, can you model that for us so we won't just go, okay, well, you guys, it's up to you. How come nothing's happened while you're on? It's all your fault. You know, it's not that group. But even if we have a couple cells doing that, it's not productive, right? It's not helpful. It's not skillful. So Sherry, what's your role then?
My role is to be engaged, to be engaged in the conversations, be engaged in my business, be engaged with my mindset. Moving in the direction of a high ticket sale, be another cheerleader.
I love that. And I love that word engaged. The more I'm engaged, the more you could go through this whole period between now and February 14th and get nothing out of it if you choose. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard, actually, if you're even here on any of the calls we're doing, right? It would be hard, but you could. You know, it's totally up to you what you get out of this, but an opportunity is presented for really massive growth and huge. There's so many other things that are going to be, so yes, being engaged, so many other things that we're learning. I'm not going to point them out always, just like with Shavasana. I don't tell you all the benefits. First, I just say lie down and breathe, right? But we learned the depth of that on our Yoga for Entrepreneurs Day, for instance, right? There's so much more there than meets the eye. With this game, how do you work with a team? If you're going to grow your company, you need a team. This is a team. This is a group of dream enablers. And how we do anything is how we do everything. So I could go, man, you know, somebody else didn't make it happen and I'm afraid I could be like this. Then what's going to happen when you're leading your own team? Right? Or I could be engaged. I could be, and I know we all know this, but to be reminded of this and to be engaged in this right here, right now, because you're such heart-centered people. You have such a gift to give on this planet, right? We all do as we gather here, right? But can I be engaged? And as I see how I'm working with this team and when are my buttons, watch how you're playing too. Notice when my buttons are pressed. This person just had a high ticket sale and I haven't yet. Does it press my button? Or maybe that I had two in a row, but now I feel like I can't do it again. Does it, you know, watching how I'm playing and watching how I'm engaging with this phenomenal team. Each person has been handpicked here. This is an amazing, amazing group of entrepreneurs, visionaries. I want to say enlightened beings. I don't know what enlightened exactly means. I mean, I know and I don't know, but amazing souls. I want to say that, right? And so it's a perfect playground to learn how to work with our own teams. I haven't emphasized that before. I'm saying it now. And there's 100 other benefits as we engage in this way, getting those cellular knowing that when I put something in, it comes out fivefold. You can learn that in your head, but we get a chance to learn it in ourselves here. Many, many more things that I'm not even going to be telling you about that are happening as we're playing the game. How you do anything is how you do everything. So Sherry, thank you for modeling that. Let's hear that from one other person who wants to raise their hand as one of the ones who didn't raise their hand as leader, but you're going to lead from behind or you're going to engage, or what's your word? Cheryl, thank you. And then Marie, let's hear from you. Cheryl and then Marie.
Absolutely what Sherry said. I was hesitant to raise my hand. And I noticed what came up for me was, oh my gosh, I have events coming up. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I thought, oh God. And then after everyone, I go, oh, it's too late. Ah, so I just missed it. But then I thought, okay, no, it's okay. I'll do it next time, but I can still lead. So that's what I was thinking the whole time.
Yeah, beautiful. And Cheryl, unpacking this and noticing all this.
Yeah.
Yes, this is what's happening in our company too. It's like there's this moment of hesitation. Oh, am I ready? Oh, and I've got all this stuff. You can bet that's happening somewhere in our company. But as she becomes aware of that, that's going to make a huge shift in her company, in her world, when she brings it to consciousness, doesn't beat herself up for it, notices what's happening, noticing the editors holding back. And now it's like, I'm here. This is a perfect place. I get to lead from the back of the room, which, oh my goodness, Cheryl, as I'm talking to you, like you have done that in such profound ways. And so deeply at so many events. And also it's like you can use that energy for your company this time, right? And in the way that you play here. So fantastic. Yes. Marie, how about you? Let's hear one more.
I just want to say something to Cheryl, which is it reminds me of how I was the first time I did the high ticket ritual, which you say, oh, I don't really have a program. I'm going to support everyone else. And then the money just started coming in. So
thank you for that, Marie, and encouragement for those who go like, I don't know how this goes, I don't know how it's going to work, I haven't done the high ticket sale here before, blah, 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 or I've already done this, but I haven't done it at the level that I want to, I don't know how to get to that next level, like hitting everybody's editors in a different way, right? And so that all is welcome here, watch how you're playing, every single person matters. It's kind of like, you know, when everybody's one of my teachers use this analogy often. It's like when you're rowing in a boat. Marie, I know you know about rowing, right? You know more about boats than I do, right? And not boats, like kayaks, right? And you know, but I do know that if you're in a rowboat and everybody's rowing in the same direction, there's one person rowing in the opposite direction, what happens to the boat, right?
Yeah.
Every single person in this community matters. Every single person in this community matters. Yeah, Grace, go ahead.
There was something, Marie, that you just said, that it's like, oh, and you. I don't know whether you actually heard what you said, so I want to emphasize it. You said, I didn't know what I was doing, and so what did you focus on? Helping everybody else. you said that is what we're all here for, is to help everybody else. And then you said, oh, and the money started rolling in as you focused on other people because you were doing what you normally do.
Thank you for underlining that, Grace, because that's how this game is set up, is very intentional too. My job is to uplift other people and help other people. That's part of the job of the game. How's it going for everyone? If somebody's rowing in the opposite direction or something, the whole community gets up-leveled when everyone is included. And that attitude is the same as what we're learning over there in networking, in practical applications. How can I up-level? How can I serve? How can I support in ways that are even beyond the borders of my company? And I bring that with me. I become that. That becomes my practice. Practice is the theme of today's call, right? That becomes my practice, and then watch my company grow. So there's multiple things that are going to be happening at the game, and Marie underlined one of them, and Grace underlined it, or Marie said it, Grace underlined it. The game happens at multiple levels. It has been constructed with much intentionality. All right, so Marie, go ahead.
I wanted to say that what I see my contribution as is, I really love that idea of posting the wins as a step you took toward getting the high ticket. So that's one of my commitments, is to be posting the steps I'm taking, even if I don't have a yes. Like those no's, like Aaron said, are also really important. It's like the actions I'm making, putting my energy in that direction.
Yes, exactly. Beautiful. Count all the small wins, all the small wins all the way along. I see you, Sherry. So give me 1 second and then we'll get Sherry. So thank you. So because that's how they happen. I didn't think there was anybody they could make an offer to, and I made a list of 10 people that I could call. That's an action, and that's a win. And then I know that that's the first person that I want to call, and I've made that decision. That's another win. And then I pick up the phone and call them. They're not there, but I leave a message. That's a win. Every step along the way, because we expect that when we're making these calls, one in six, if we're talking to our, you know, in somewhere in the range of our ideal clients, one in six will say yes. Then maybe one in five, we get really skilled, one in four. That means mostly we need to have it as a practice that we're talking to people and they're saying no. that's okay, because all the structures allow us to be serving them, supporting them, having a joy in that conversation. When was the last time I made an offer? Yesterday. We're in mid-process. I've got the follow-up for the strategy session next week. So what's the practice? What's the practice? And can I enjoy that all along the way? So thank you, Marie. All the little wins. Beautiful. Sherry, what did you want to add?
Well, I think it falls in the category of all the little wins. I was right before you called on me, and I had been hesitating about raising my hand. I was kind of noticing what my body was doing, and it was kind of holding back, and I was trying to, well, what's going on? And what popped up was kind of a thought that said, this is never going to happen for me. And it was like, oh no. And then you called on me.
There are no accidents, right?
No. And it's kind of like, oh, so what am I going to do? And that's where, you know, that being engaged was so, okay, it's taking contrary action to what that thought is telling me.
Yes. And so, yes, exactly. Beautiful. And so notice what's happening here. That's happening out there too. I'm probably hesitating. So just noticing it with love, right? And then going, well, I can do something. I'm called on. The universe is calling me. Just notice that. And so I can step forward into it. And so all the little micro movements of what happens throughout this period between now and I landed it for Valentine's Day on purpose, right? Heart Day, right? So that's our deadline. That's our and remember that there are two challenges on the table, right? That we get 10 between now and then. But if you double that, there's going to be a bonus. And I will be honest with you. I don't even know what that bonus is. I just know that my bonuses are always awesome. I will make sure it's awesome. Was it awesome last year? We had the bonus last year. You remember that 4-hour training? That's the one that's in the, because they won that last year. I have 4-hour training. Well, how am I going to find that client tomorrow? It's pieces that I don't have time for in the high ticket virtual retreat. And what's the difference between a connection call and a strategy session? When should I do the one and when should I do the other? And what am I even supposed to do on that connection call? And what do I do when I bump into that person? There's a 4-hour training, right? So I don't know what the bonus is going to be this time. Sometimes bonuses are like massages. I don't know. But man, I'd be aiming for that. Can you take your goal and knock it out of the park? And then what that teaches us in our bones as well. So how about starting today, right? Because today is what we have. This moment is what we have. Like we learn in Shavasana, we have this breath, this moment. What am I doing now? So beautiful. Thank you. Love it. All right. Anything else in? So, and if you haven't listened to the whole High Ticket Virtual Retreat or Yoga for Entrepreneurs, man, do that as quickly as possible too, because every piece of that is going to be important to you. So meet with your buddy, meet with your small group. And remember that the High Ticket Virtual Retreat is just checking my notes here, things I wanted to say to you. It's an opportunity to create practices around abundance, around offers, around sales. So we've got this perfectly aligned. The beginning of the abundance series is what are the practices that I'm actually doing? And I can create practices that both bring abundance to me. I said this earlier, but I want to underline it. Bring abundance to me and that require an abundance mindset. As long as Sherry's going, well, it's for everybody else, but not for me. Can't do anything. Noticing that, making the shift, turn 180 degrees. Yes, I can. I'm going to engage. Marie did it. And she declared that she wasn't going to do it. First, she said, I am not doing this. I will support it. I will not do a high ticket sale. And accidentally made that first $1,800, whatever it was, right? So I think that's what it was. All right. Just a reminder of upcoming calls, the calendar, another announcement. Calendar is in your inbox, right? So get all those dates on your calendar. Put the big rocks in first. That's a practice as well, right? So put all those big rocks in first. Let me see. And again, watch for more resources coming up in the Story Freedom Academy. We've got so many resources there. I'm having Amy organize them so they're easier to find. And I asked her to make sure that the high ticket pieces can be found first. So that should be coming hopefully as soon as possible. Meanwhile, you can find them still in the Y forum. All right. So look over there in the old version, the Y forum. The Abundance Series is going to be in the Story Freedom Academy. So we're moving to an up-leveled forum for you. Easier access to resources. Be patient with us, please, in the transition. Right now, you can go over to the messier Y forum and find these resources. if you don't know where to find them, there's some people who've been around for quite a while that can probably point you to them, all right? So ask questions and then use the Facebook form to ask questions, right? Carve out time on your calendar for this too. What else is going to have to drop off the plate for you to be doing this? If you really want to squeeze all the juice out of the high-ticket virtual retreat, what are those things that you can cross off your calendar that seem so important, but what could be more important if you really want to grow your company than making offers and closing sales? If you're not doing it, you don't even have a company. What else can drop off the plate radically? How can you radically make space to engage in this? Just notice. And then does that push buttons? But I can't. There's all these things. Just notice. I don't have time to make sales. Oh, that's the business though, right? And then we have ways of, from practical applications and elsewhere, when you're making a sale, it doesn't have to feel like a sale. You don't have to sell anything. You just have conversations with people. Third, you, our latest, our most recent addition to our community. Do I have to sell anything? We're having sitting down, having a conversation. You get the opportunity to step in. That's what, and when a strategy session is going well, that's what it feels like. So it felt like to me, whether it felt like that to Sergio, I don't know, but don't even have to sell anything. Just hold space, let people step in, know what the transformation is. Okay. And be asking yourself, when was my last offer? That one is the tough love version. All right. Mine was yesterday. And when was yours? Lots of them are going to be no's. This one is in process. I don't know if it's going to be a yes or a no. I'm excited. I know that person could benefit from some work that we do together. This person will say yes or say no. It doesn't matter to me. Sometimes it matters. I don't mean for it to matter, but but I'm making offers. I'm allowing people the possibility to step in. Okay. Anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Okay, so I can tell already there our call on in the abundance series, it always takes a little more time because I want to introduce the idea, the concept of abundance and what it even means, and then our first topic, which is practice. So I know that we'll be beginning that today. We're going to have some more about that a week from today. Check your calendar for when that next call is, right? And check your inbox. I believe it's next week. Let me see. Where do I want to go first? Yeah, I want to go first. I had a different order for this. Anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Any wins wanting to be shared? Any ahas? Anything that's bubbling up? I know we usually share wins. You can go post them, a bunch of them on the Facebook forum because I want to keep moving here. But anything bursting to be said, I do. Yeah, Marie.
Well, you might not have gotten into the content of abundance, but I certainly feel the energy of abundance. After
exactly. This. We've already got there. If you listen to this call again and go, what is abundance and what is it to have practices that support abundance? We've already got there in multiple ways. And from Marie, from the one who's been in the abundance and the practice call more times than anybody here, right? We're already doing it. I like when we come in the back door because then we're getting in ourselves. I don't care about the head knowledge. You've all heard the word before. You can go Google it. What is it to feel it, to live it? Sherry made the transition to a much more abundant state as she went, oh, wait, I was thinking, right? It's actually happening on the court in this call right now. So yes, thank you for underlining that, Marie. So I want to do a little bit of teaching. I'm going to teach this really quickly because we're already in the energy of it. And then I want to show you a really fun video that will help us. I don't even want to tell you about the video. We're just going to show you a fun video. I think you're going to like it. It's going to take us further on this quest. So what is practice? If you Google it, you know, what is practice? The actual application, or is a noun, it's the actual application or use of an idea, belief, or method, as opposed to theories about such application or use. Yeah, high ticket's a really nice idea. It's good for other people. And yes, I'm going to theoretically, but I don't actually do anything out in the world to make it happen, for instance, right? As a verb, perform an activity or exercise, a skill, repeatedly or regularly in order to improve or maintain one's proficiency. It's something we do over and over again. It's application. It's so important to me, having had a background at the university where all these great ideas to transform the world happen, and sometimes nothing happens. You understand what I'm saying? It frustrates me to no end. There are academics who are out there in the world actually changing things from the amazing ideas that get transmitted. It's one of the reasons I wanted to leave the university. Here are these ideas. What if we actually put them in action to change the world, right? So what is practice? And it's so important, right? Well, why does practice matter? I just told you what the definitions are online. in yoga, there's at least four different, let me tell you this one thing. I'll ask you about why it matters in a minute. I want to tell you this. In yoga, there are at least four different words for practice. The yogis know that practice matters. Now, I don't care if you memorize these. I don't care if you, even for me, I don't care about it. As head knowledge, who cares? But just the general gist of it. You know, there's abhyasa, which is repeated practice, and tapas, that one that Sheila's going to keep us on. Another way that it's translated sometimes is sustained courageous practice, right? So tapas, burning zeal, we're going to go do stuff, right? Sadhana is discipline in pursuit of a goal. And kriya is action, and all those are aspects of practice. And so, when there's multiple words for something, it means that culture places importance on that thing, like Inuit with 20 words for snow because it's important to their lives, for instance, whatever it is I've heard, right? I can't remember if it's 20 words or whatever, right? Or like we learned in Mexico a year ago, there's the longest living and happiest culture in Japan. They don't have a word for retirement because they don't even have the concept of that because they're always doing, they're always engaged. They always have a purpose. And so they have a word for ikigai instead, which means what's my purpose? Why am I on this planet? What am I doing? Right? So our words tell us how important it is. You don't need to memorize all these different words in yoga for practice. I want to ask you, why do practices matter? And I want to spend just a minute on this because we already got it, I think, from the rest of the call, but I just want to pull those threads together. Why do practices matter? From one or two of you. And here's that chance for that engagement. And you can raise your hand before you're ready. Then you practice it here, you'll practice it with those offers as well. You might not know the answer, but go ahead. Thank you, Sheila. And then Cheryl.
Because you're moving forward.
Yes. Without practice, I'm never moving forward. I'm not doing anything. I have good ideas. Doesn't translate into a business, doesn't translate into lives transformed, right? Beautiful. Cheryl, what do you have to add about that?
Yeah, very similar. It's like you're in action. When you're in action, and just like me thinking about doing my first offer, I kind of technically did one, but not really yet. But just thinking about it gives me anxiety. But I know once I do it once, it'll be easier the next time and the next time. Like riding a bike, you know, it's just yes. Gonna learn. And the pattern with me is I've always been like that my whole life. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to go do that. It's like from fourth grade, you know what I mean? Stupid stuff. And then I do it like, oh, that was easy, you know?
And yes, that's what I took out. Yes. What am I actually doing? How am I engaging in the world? What has me bring it out there? And what about that first offer, for instance? And then there are practice habits of thought and language as well. And I don't want us to get all in our heads about that, but Cheryl, can I play with your words a little bit here? So when Cheryl says, I've always been like that, I always, and I'm exaggerating so you can hear it, I always hesitate and pull back first, but then I go in and then it's a little tricky, but then I find out it's okay. Well, that's a practiced habit of thought, right? That's a practiced story that Cheryl has about how it's always been. And if it's always been that way, it's probably always going to be that way. So then she's going to have to put that hesitation in all the time before she can get there. So our practices happen at every level. Cheryl, you're good with this. You're hearing this. There's a little, you know, playful, tough love piece, right? So what are my habits of thought about what it is that I can do? And even if I soften language there, I go like, I've often, because is it every single time? I bet it's not every single time in your life. Often in the past, I found I hesitated, and then I would find it's okay. Going forward, I wonder if I can hesitate a little bit less, because I know that I don't need to anymore, because I've got this whole community around me that's going to help me step forward. And I step forward to talk about, I did hesitate at the beginning. It still sometimes happens. That's okay. Putting my hand up for the leader, but then I put my hand up about how are we going to do this collectively, as a group. So then I didn't hesitate there. And I know that I'm building habits that have me hesitating less and less. I'm stepping forward more and more. I'm taking those opportunities. I'm raising my hand when I don't know what I'm going to say yet. And I'm stepping in and teaching myself that it works when I do that. So a story, we have habitual stories that we tell, and they happen at the micro level. And so we can transform those practices at all levels of our being, and from moment to moment to moment as well. And again, Shavasana will help us. Cheryl, does that make sense? Yeah. Why did what I had to say matter for you? If it did that matter, and why?
But because it's a reminder of what I already know, and habitual practices, like habitual thoughts that I'm not I wasn't even really aware of when I said I always. I mean, I tell my daughter, always. I mean, always is such a big word. And then here I am going, always, you know. So it's kind of like practice what you preach and be more conscious of my words that I'm choosing.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes too, then we end up getting self-conscious about our words. I better get the words right. That itself can be a habit too, right? Because what if we let our words reflect what's going on and then we just make a little shift? So I don't have to be careful. And then sometimes I end up covering up what's happening inside. I could put happy face on empty gas gauge, right? And then it doesn't really move anything. So can I just be noticing? Can I be aware? Can I see what's happening? And then I shift the energy and I shift the thought and I shift the intentionality, sometimes starting with the words, sometimes starting with the thoughts, sometimes starting with the actions. If I make the action that's different from that, the words and the thoughts will start shifting. So in Peak Potentials, one of the things they taught us is thoughts. They gave us a little T, F, A, and then an arrow to R. They wrote that on the blackboard a million times. And they're not the only ones who've said this, but I like that it's been ingrained in me through Peak Potentials. What it stood for is, so T, F, A, and then an arrow to R. Thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. And we're looking for the results, and it starts over there in the roots with our thoughts. But we can engage in any one of them. We can change the thoughts, we can change the feelings, we can change the actions too. If I change the actions, it's going to start to change my thoughts. All right. Let me see. Marie, can I ask you to do something for me? There's a piece that I want to read to you, but I don't want to do it today. I want to start off our abundance call next time with, and if you've got the book, you can read it yourself. Some of you have it, I know, page 6 from Living Your Yoga. So can you text that to me? Start next time with that, because it was going to be in this call. But where we were going set such a foundation for abundance, such a foundation for practice going through the High Ticket Virtual Retreat that I want to table that for next time, because I know that it'll take that conversation further next time too. And there's other pieces I want to get to today. All right. One aha from one of you. So I know you're tracking on this, the importance of practice for you. Why does it matter to you? Practice. Or it could be an aha from any piece of what we've done so far. Michelle, thank you.
So for me, it really takes away pressure, both on my part and whoever I'm talking to.
I love that. Yes. Why does it do it? I hear that, but why for you?
Because it doesn't matter. Whatever they say doesn't matter. And I'm sure we've all been in sales calls where someone's like, you just feel like they want you to buy because they want money from you versus they want to help you. Mm-hmm. So if there's none of that, there's no pressure, whether you say yes or no, it's okay.
The ease that comes from that, when I understand that it's a practice, I'm not trying to get it all this moment in this call, it better land or else there's a hardness in around that. This is just a practice. It's important. It's foundational, not just, it's practice. But it's, I'm doing it this way. And then next time I'm going to learn from that. I'm going to build. And so I love that. Yes. Multiple things that you could have heard in and around what we've talked about for practice already. Fantastic. What I want to do is, we've got two really great questions on the table. Let me see. I think I want to address the questions and then show you a video, which I think you're going to enjoy. It's a short video that will take us further on this. Well, how do we create practices? And then particularly, how do we create practices that support abundance, that allow us to tap into abundance, that stops that? Abundance is the opposite of the editor. You get it? The editor is always filled with scarcity. There's not going to be enough. I won't get it. It can't be okay, et cetera, whatever form it comes in. So it's like the editor antidote. It's like the opposite of the editor. I know there's enough. I know there's plenty. There are plenty of people to call, lots of places to practice abundance too. There is plenty of people right in front of me that I can call, pick up the phone right now and make a high ticket offer. There are plenty of things that I could offer. I've got all that stuff lying around on my workshop floor, and I could pick up any one of them and create a high ticket offer from that. There are plenty of gifts that I have that I can give to people that will make a difference in their lives. There are plenty of calls that I can make. So if it's not that first person, you hear how it's right integrated into how we grow our business, how we grow our companies, how we do our work in the world, right? So, I want to address a couple of questions, and then I want to go to the video. Anything bursting to be said first? Anything bubbling up inside you, and then you won't be able to hear what's next? Okay, thank you. So Marie's question. So abundance. I haven't given you a definition of abundance. I think we all have a working definition. It's like, it's knowing that there's lots. It's knowing that there's plenty. It's knowing that there's more than enough and so on, right? Good enough for definition for now. Foundational for all the work that we do in our businesses. Marie says, what does it mean? It's my birthright. The energy of this question is coming from all the inequities in the world. And if abundance is my birthright, what about all the others on the planet who have so little? This weighs on my heart. Anybody else, does that question, if that question resonates with you or has ever resonated with you, Cheryl, yeah, you're heart-centered people. So it's resonating with a number of you. And I will tell you that that question would have stopped me in my tracks maybe about 10 or 20 years from now. It stopped me from growing. I would not be, if however this community is helping you, it would not be happening if I still had that embedded in my cells, that statement. And so Marie wisely is raising that question, and that was embedded in my cells. And I, can I tell you something, it was too much information, but when I was in, you know, how I was as a teenager in high school, I so wanted to help the planet. I so wanted to care for the world. I just so saw this, the inequities on the planet, and it seemed so unfair to me. I would watch the news and just get paralyzed. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move. Right? And then one of my visions as a teen, it wasn't what I thought all the time, but I'm like, here, you know, well, laughing with that earlier version of me, because she also, there's a spark of caring for the world that's in me that belonged, that started from her. Right? But then I'm a little older and hopefully wiser. I don't know. We'll see. I think so. So what I thought at that time is like, wow, well, there's all these war-torn countries. I've got to go become a reporter or something. I've got to go become a journalist and let people know about it. I'll probably go someplace that's really violent and then I'll die. I'm sorry. It's like revealing an earlier version of myself. Right? How wise is that? Then how much can I help the world? But I couldn't see, and it was blocking me, looking at those inequities. So I hear you. I'm telling you this, Marie, and playfully, making playfully with about me to tell you I hear that. It paralyzed me for years, I would say. I was still doing stuff, but it's blocked me. And then, so here's a mindset shift. And Marie, can we go the tough love version? Because I think you'll hear this, and then this will benefit everybody. Is that all right?
Go for it.
Thank you. It's turning that, you know, who do I think I am to have something in the world when somebody else doesn't have anything? That's kind of that mindset. But I would say that's not stepping to a big enough abundance mindset. It's not. It's still telling a disempowering story. Because who am I to declare what the abundance possibility of that person is? Who am I to declare what their limits are and what might be possible for them? Look, I've got everything, and they over there, who are completely different from me, are in the universities. Those are some of the important ideas from post-colonial theory, for instance, about othering, how we turn somebody into something other and separate from myself. Those people over there have nothing, will never have nothing, and they have nothing, and so I can't possibly, and I'm exaggerating so we can hear it, I can't possibly take anything because those people over there who can't do or be or have any agency or will on the planet or make a difference whatsoever don't have anything, so I better have nothing too. What is it to step to something bigger and bigger and bigger than that? This is some of the mind process, like encapsulating 20 or 30 years of thought for me. This is my personal take on it, and then you can take whatever helps you in this. What if I see that human being as filled with potential? What if I see, one of the things when I was teaching university, I always thought, well, if we could free the most disempowered woman on the planet, then we would all be free. The one who has no money, who is probably a woman of color, who is living in, third world conditions, whose kids are starving, because I was thinking about her so much. But what if our work enabled the conditions of possibility for her to be free? But I don't need to come and rescue her. That's creating a victim out of her. What if I can see, take the most disempowered person on the planet, her energy, her possibility, her life force energy, give you an example, I went to see a talk by a woman named Immaculate. So in case any of you have this same editor that will block abundance, that will keep you from asking high ticket, that will keep you from getting your gifts out there in the world, thank you for pulling out that editor for us, Marie, because it's right at the crux of abundance and high ticket and making offers and actually growing our company and doing what we said we want to do in the world. Right? So who am I to restrict her? And I went to see a talk by a woman named Immaculée Ilibegeza years ago. And if you haven't heard of her, she is amazing. And she could be one embodiment of that woman, one version of it, because her entire family, and sorry to go to the dark side here, but her entire family was brutally killed in the Rwandan genocide. I mean, brutally, horribly. I didn't want to see her talk because I thought it's just going to put me back in that paralysis place. I won't be able to do anything on the planet. And she is obviously disempowered, can't do anything. Who am I to take stuff? And it's the opposite. That woman lit such a fire in me and the entire audience. You could hear a pin drop. The forgiveness in her, the love in her. Wayne Dyer bumped into her one day at a talk and then go, man, you need to get your message out there in the world. And then she wrote her book and then she's speaking all over the planet. And as she speaks, I remember her talking about two brothers who hadn't spoken to each other in 50 years. They watched her speak and now they're talking again. Who do I think I am to disempower her and think she can't do anything in the world? That she doesn't have access to abundance, that she doesn't have access to voice, that she doesn't have access when she dives in. So I'm going to block what I can do on the planet because I think she has nothing. That's not very abundant of me. That's not believing in her very much. And besides, if I rob myself of that, I'm going to not eat anything, for instance, so that person starving somewhere else in the world is going to have more food. It doesn't really work very well. There's sick people in the world, so I'm going to be sicker so that those other people can be healthy. So there's a few mindset shifts. Marie, does that give you something to play with here?
Well, this is interesting because my question actually comes more from scarce resources on the planet. So it's not about the individual people, the planet.
Got it. So the foundational principle in economics, I took courses up to third and fourth year honors economics classes because I was interested at the time as an undergraduate. And my office mate, when I taught the college, I've never taught this before, but here it is, because I think it'll help you. I think you'll hear this because I want to break open the blocks to abundance. We might even do the video next time. We'll see if we run out of time because it's such an important point for heart-centered people. It blocks companies over and over and over again, I believe. And you may not be as deeply aligned with that inequities discourse, right, or talk as Marie is, but I bet there's a lot of you nodded. There's a couple little cells over here concerned about that because you're such heart-centered people. So I just want to clear this out. So the person in the office next door, her name was Zaina, and she was an economist. So we talked all the time. We worked on the same committees. I got to know her really well, and I did all these, you know, honors economics courses. And the thing is, the foundational principle in economics, all the other things are built on an assumption. Starts with an assumption that says we live in a world of scarce resources, and then we build all of economic theory on top of that. It starts not from abundance, but from scarcity. The foundational principle of, and maybe it's different from when I was studying it, right? But the foundational principle in economics, how money works, for instance, how economies work, starts from scarcity. So now how are we going to divide it up? There's only so much of the pie. If I take some, somebody else is going to lose. That is starting out with an editor mind is the foundational principle of how we view the world. But what if we don't? Listen to the Abraham Hicks materials and move into a different world of abundance. For instance, go listen to some of their pieces on YouTube. It's very beautiful to shift that mindset. Read Science of Getting Rich. What if actually there's so many more resources on the world than we pay attention to? And I remember in those economics courses too, that because of the distribution of resources, they were like dumping food in the ocean because they couldn't, you know, because it wasn't making money or whatever, like weird stuff happening on the planet. What if we start from a foundationally different premise that this planet is abundant, that this planet has so much to give us, and we have so much to give it, and that there's more than enough. And I remember studying this in my 20s because it bothered me so much. There's more than enough to feed everyone on the planet, and that when we are abundant, I got a chance to go for dinner with Mike Koenigs and Vivian Glick. If you know them, you know, he's made his record is making $1 million in 45 minutes once, right? They're amazing people. And what do they do with that money? Well, one of the things they're doing is they're sending that money over to girls in Uganda. And if you're at the Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs, I interviewed Vivian Glick, and she said, as they're helping these girls in Uganda, her biggest insight, the biggest thing that came to her was that here we are, the Western folks coming to rescue them in a sense. Not the case at all. These girls who had nothing were so abundant, were so clear in their mindset, had so much to share, but she's been learning from them all the time. What is it to shift our mindset and shift the stories that we're telling in foundational ways to shift the planet, and by the way, also grow our companies? Because without that, I don't know how to grow the company. So great question, Marie. Thank you. I think what I might want to do, Marie, I've asked you to ask about the question about the gap at practical applications. Sheila, do you have a talk coming up this week, like between now and Tuesday? All right. So can I have you re-ask that question for practical applications? Because it fits in really, really well with that material. Then we could do a deeper dive into your question. Would that be okay? Repost it so that I remember, right? And all of you remember that you can post questions in the practical application series. You post it in a different place. It's over there in the Story Freedom Academy. And it's really cool. You guys post it and it ends up on a table for me, and I can see all your questions all at once. It's really nice technology. So I immediately get that question. I immediately can start thinking about it. It pops up in my inbox as well. So please go post your questions there. We'll keep posting for the Abundance Series. Who's going to post your questions here for the next call in the Abundance Series? We're still over there on the Facebook forum until we make the transition. Cheryl, thank you. Look at you putting your hand up right away. Right? Watch how that practice is shifting right here on the call. And how did that feel, Cheryl, just raising your hand that quickly? How did it feel? Yes, exactly. So Cheryl will post the call, the post your questions here for next week's call in the Abundance Series. So notice that this is an abundance, this is a practice of abundance in teaching. I know that in teaching, there's plenty of time to get to all the points. I know that we can do a deep dive because we can answer Sheila's question next week. I know that it's a marathon, not a sprint. All of these are abundance practices in the teaching and in how we live in this and grow in this community, right? So let me see. Do we have time for this? Yeah, I think I want to do it. So anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward? Yes, Sheila, go.
So where am I posting that question?
So the question, post it in the Story Freedom Academy in the practical applications course, and there's a place where you can post questions. And if you can't find that place to post questions, ask Emily and she'll guide you to it. Emily at michellegunderson.com, okay?
And the Story Freedom Academy is where?
It's in your inbox. And man, you all should know where Story Freedom Academy is. Your login is in your inbox. And if you haven't accessed that, there's tons of all the resources of practical applications are over there in the Story Freedom Academy. So if you haven't accessed it yet, man, you've got to access it. There's transcripts, there's videos, there's handouts, right? So make sure you're accessing that as well, right? We've got two more calls in the practical application series. All right. And thank you, Erin. There's a questions tab in the menu. Thank you. Yes. Anything else bursting to be said? All right. So this call is about setting the foundation of abundance for our year. That when we have those bits of scarcity in our mind, and Marie gave us a good one, it's like that is a scarcity mindset. I would suggest that there's only so much to go around. And I'm not, yes, am I aware that maybe there's only this many trees in the world or whatever it is. I can look at the world in that way too, and have deeply so. But what is it to see the world as abundant? What is it to know the abundance of each person? What is it to know their capacities and their capabilities? So, and Marie, if that's still feeling like edgy or something, post a follow-up question for me, right? Because I think it's so important to break open the floodgates of possibility and abundance for ourselves, for our companies, and for this world. Right. So let me see. Do you want to show the video right now? No, I think what we're going to do, abundance practice two is, again, there's plenty of time. We will get there. I think we'll start off the call probably with the video that I want to share with you. I think you're going to really, really love it. I've used this video for a couple of years now in the abundance call and practice. And 2 years ago in Mexico, they loved this video so much that they were singing pieces of it throughout the whole of the Mexico retreat. And some of you know you were there, right? You know what the video is. So don't tell anybody yet, though. If they don't know yet, it's going to keep it as a surprise. Like it became a refrain through the whole of the Mexico retreat. So we'll start there next time. Marie, can you send me a little text to make sure to start with the special video next time?
Okay, so now there's two texts with how you want to start. One with reading page 6 in the book and the video.
We'll start. So you know. Thank you. Yeah, and we'll pair those together. I'll start with one or the other. I'm not sure which order, but I'll feel into that next time. Thank you, Marie. All right. Anything else bursting to be said? And then I think we're going to wrap up this call because I want to take time over your ahas and your inspired actions. And technically, we have 3 minutes. You know, we usually end more like on the hour. Anything bursting to be said before we go into your ahas and your inspired actions? Because this call, we really came in the back door. I didn't say, you know, here's what we're going to learn and lay it out for you really clearly, but I wanted to get at the energetic of what is it to really have that abundance inside ourselves. And we got there through talking about the high ticket virtual retreat. If you listen to the beginning of this call, you'll hear abundance, you'll hear practice all throughout it. So let's go into your aha so you can hear what other people are hearing, because there's an abundance of things that happen in this call, more than any one of us could track on. And so we can hear more of them when we hear other people's ahas, right? So Sergio, one aha, one inspired action. That inspired action is always something that we could check off on a page. So we know we're practicing. It's another way to put it. We know we're actually bringing these ideas into our lives, into our businesses, into our world. So Sergio, what's your aha and your inspired action for today?
You go to practice.
That's how simple and beautiful. I'm going to practice, yes. It's the heart of our lives. What am I practicing, right? Yeah.
And I'm going to watch another couple of videos I've got on the Craving Strategy Calls.
Yes, fantastic. Thank you. There's an abundance of resources on how to do those calls. There's booster calls from previous times we've done the high ticket virtual retreat. There's so many resources there. So, you can squeeze all the juice out of each one of them. When you really hear into each one of those questions and the responses, there's a huge ripple effect for how we're making offers, how we be in that, what we say, and so on. So fantastic. Thank you, Sergio. Beautiful action. Michelle.
So my aha is that you might sound a little convoluted, but you can't assume a limited abundance for somebody else. So you can't
assume
they can't afford it or that they don't want it or that sort of thing.
I'm so glad you underlined that. And I love how you put it. You put it in your words so then it lands in you. And some of you would have heard your words and didn't hear when I said it because they heard it through you. Fantastic. And so that has a direct implication for sales, for instance. Somebody comes to me and says, I don't have any money, but I'm talking to you. I don't even hear that because they're limiting themselves. And if they're living on the street, they're probably not coming to me in this circumstance, in this context, right? But they probably have more resources than they know. I've had people come into this community that says, I don't have that anywhere. I don't know where I'm going to find it. And we have a call the next day and they pay in full like that week because they didn't even see it. It was right there. So can I see that for people on the planet? Can I see that for the person who's right in front of me? If I don't, I don't know how to grow the business, right? Thank you for underlining that crucial point. And that came from Marie's beautiful question. Thank you. So, and what's your inspired action?
I'm not sure.
And the inspired action too, we can over-complexify it too. It's like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There's lots of things I could do, and that can come from scarcity mindset. It could be this, it could be that, it could be that. What if I take the wrong action, right? And my back hurts even when I say that. But what if we let it be simple? And then we can lean on the yoga for entrepreneurs. What if I just take a breath and then decide I'm just going to do one action that takes me further on this? It could be multiple different actions, but I have an abundance mindset and I'm going to choose one because I know there's plenty of time to take those other actions. This is the one that's arising in me. I trust that it's going to be a good one because I know that the world is abundant and it's going to be bring me beautiful things like Aaron with the nose. So then I can just take an action that comes to mind. Do that first and then see who I am once I've done that action because I'm a whole different person because I've done that action.
Interesting. I want to set some time aside to plan the flow of the year.
Oh, yeah. Love it. My quarterly goal, how do you set quarterly goals in the same way that we said we talk about this? We'll talk about more in Quantum Leaps, but how do I set those? By deciding what it is that I really want and reference having a big why series, like what do I want? And my last quarter, my aim was to do exactly what you said. I'm going to see what I really want and set up my year. And I'm having a call tomorrow with an accountability partner about, well, what did I do? How am I setting up that year? Fantastic. That's a great action. And you thought you didn't have one. The world has more abundance, more thoughts, more, easy actions to take than you realized. And that itself is another level of abundance teaching right here, right now. Thank you. Beautiful. Cheryl, you're next.
I love Michelle's. I had another one, but I'm going to copy yours. I think I love that. I can have two though. I'm going to, my aha, there's a lot of ahas today obviously for me, but pay attention to the words that I choose. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, without being weird about it, like,
Yes, I love how you said that. Thank you.
Just be more aware.
No one in this community has ever said it the way that I can recall, but I think I can't think of a better way to say that. Pay attention to your words without being weird about it. Beautiful. Yes. Because when I notice it,
about it,
it's going to give me information.
Yeah, notice. And then I'm going to do my 3-month plan like Michelle, and then I'm going to finish my yoga day recordings. So thank you, Michelle, again for doing that.
You are so welcome. And thank you for... Cheryl sent me a little text about it. It was so sweet. Thank you for recording this. Oh, it just made my day, right? It's like so glad that you're making use of these resources. And I recorded it for everyone, but you were the catalyst for that. Cheryl's like, will you record it? Will you record it? I can't be that loved. Will you record it? So thank you. Enjoy. Yes. Grace, you're up next.
So I think what touched me is with a sense of abundance, an aspect of abundance is time and taking action. And so I have time to step up. So my commitment is to continue to take action and step up and do and not worry about time. Mm. Right. Which is why I came present to that. Actually, it's been since last week, right? Every day, what's the action I'm going to be taking to move forward?
Love it. And so scarcity, and that editor is scarcity embodied, hides in multiple places. One of them is a lack of abundance, a seeming lack of abundance of time, but we all have the same 24 hours. And time is actually stretchy. We can stretch time and play with it. So when I have that idea, well, there's not enough time, I can't make offers and I can't lead and I can't write, it starts from a very different foundation than when I know there's an abundance of time and I will make time. And I can find ease there, and I can find the breath and the time that I have, because I know I can create it. That creates a whole different business and a whole different life. Beautiful. What's your inspired action?
To begin connecting with everybody who's in this community. And I sort of started doing that with personal connections on the call today.
Fantastic.
I'm going to be meeting with new people because I stepped up and raised my hand to do whatever I'm going to be doing with the posting, which I've never done before, but I know somebody will teach me.
Is abundant. Can you hear the abundance mindset in that and how that creates a different business and a different life? Yes, yes, and yes. Beautiful. I don't know how to do this, but I know it's going to work out because it's always worked out before, because the life always serves and supports me, and there's an abundance of resources and people will help me, and all of that creates a completely different business, completely different life. Thank you, Grace. Beautiful. Yes. All right. Marie, you're up.
Oh, Well, my aha is to remember to celebrate all the steps I'm taking along the way to getting a yes for high ticket. And even the no's are a celebration.
Yes. Beautiful. Crucial. And when I have an abundance mindset, I'm like, wow, if one in five says yes, that no gets me 20% of the way to that yes, right? With an abundance mindset and a story, an empowering story that supports it, all of that becomes fun, right? So, and your inspired action, Marie?
My inspired action is to create a place in my journal for recording all those steps, and I'm already setting it up. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, check-offable, tangible, makes it real, puts focused attention on it. Fantastic, yes. Erin, you're up.
My aha is that when you notice abundance, you experience more abundance. So just paying attention to it creates more abundance.
What we focus on expands. I want to focus there. It's also an answer to Marie's question too. If I focus on the disability of that disempowered, could be woman or man, but you know, child, right? I will see more and more and more of that. What if instead I notice abundance, I experience abundance, I get it in every cell of my being, I keep seeing it everywhere. Well, more and more of that gets created. It expands in front of me and thus in the world. Beautiful. And what's your inspired action?
It's to go through and load the bonus call from last year's high ticket virtual retreat to my phone so that I can listen to that while I am walking.
Oh, great action. And it should be right there in front of you in the Having Big Why series. We'll have it more accessible soon. If you cannot locate it, talk to Emily. And
yeah, I downloaded it last year, so I'm good to go for that.
Okay, fantastic.
For everyone else, yes.
yes. And also, now you know Erin's got a hold of it, so we can't find it, right? And Erin stepped up as leader, and it'll all be in easier form for you, hopefully within the week. Hey, right, Amy's working on it. Thank you, Erin. Beautiful. Sheila.
One of my ahas is what Michelle said, that practice takes the pressure away. So I think the more you practice, the less pressure you have, and then the less pressure you have when you practice.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. Michelle, you are hot today. You feeling it? All right. Sheila, beautiful. And your inspired action.
My inspired action, I have a couple of them, but I'll share that I have a couple of strategy sessions coming up from my talk. And so I'm going to, if appropriate, make an offer.
Fantastic. And I got to say too, your question was like, how can I make it more urgent? So they come to me with their strategy sessions. One of the things I would do is notice that these people did. Start there. There's one part of your answer to the question. They did. What made it urgent for them? Talk to them. Find out. Why did you come? And that's how the strategy session was. Why did you come talk to me today?
Yeah.
How do you think I can help you? Well, I needed to come talk to you because of this and this and that. Great. Put more of that in your talk. Like sometimes it's so simple. Starts from the abundance and the noticing of what's already happening.
Yeah.
What's already there and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, and then post that question. We'll take it further too next time or on Tuesday. Thank you. Yes. Sherry, you're up.
My aha is that the abundance conversation is everywhere I'm turning in the last couple of days. I mean, it's like, okay. And I'm really getting it at that cellular level.
Mm-hmm. And I love how that connects with what you said earlier too. Oh, and I want to connect that here for you and then for everyone. It's for you. It's for you. It's not out there in the, just in the, it's you. It's your, that's a piece about your birthright. It's yours. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And your inspired action, Sherry.
Well, I have several, but I'm going to go find that 4-hour how to find high ticket clients.
Yes. It's a fabulous training. It's just sitting right there for you. There's an abundance of resources and it's a great one. And I've even asked, it might take a little while for this to unfold, but I even asked Amy to transcribe it because I taught it last February. I want to see what's there and there might be pieces that I can add to that and so on. So yeah, just enjoy, and the transcribed version might take a week or two, but it's a really wonderful resource, so much so that I even asked her to transcribe it. So yes, thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. Marla.
I think my aha was the reminder that practice is practice, and you don't have to know how to do it first.
Yes. Oh, the ease and the breath, right? There's Michelle's point in there. I can hear it, right? I practice. I'm just practice. Good. Yes. And your inspired action. What are you going to do with that now?
Is to go do two things that I've been putting off because I didn't know how to do them right.
Oh, how wonderful. Yes. Thank you. Love it. Cindy, you're up.
My aha is, who do I think I am to disempower her based on my perception of her?
Thank you for underlining that. Yes, beautiful.
It brought me a flashback to when I was in my vet practice, and I would sort of mentally, subconsciously assess what people can financially handle and what they couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so I would cut back on what I might have offered to get them to do some treatment instead of a lot, which their pet needed. And then I would have people then pull out a big wad of cash and say, okay, how much do you need for this? And it would blow me away because my perception of them was, this is not where their priorities should be right now.
But letting that other person choose and not seeing a diminished version of that other person in front of me. And how do I do that? By part two of the High Ticket Virtual Retreat, knowing all the resources that I have and who I am. And then I can see that in that other person too. And sometimes it works the other way around. Let me see it in that other person. Who am I to restrict what I think is possible for them? My back started hurting when we started talking about them. That person is small, so I better give them a small offer because I know that they can't handle it. And then then the world is diminished. Mm-hmm. And then the opposite of that, I see possibility in that person. Some people, when they do their survey about the strategy sessions, they ask for income level beforehand. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about that because I know when it matters to the person enough, they will go and find it. If they're in, like, I'm not talking about somebody who's maybe on the street and who is starving, and they have, but I also know that they have other resources and someone else on the planet will help and serve them. And then my money can go and help that person who's helping them. Right. So it's abundance at all levels. And then your inspired action, Cindy. Beautiful.
I'm going to be on a call with Marie in a little bit, and we're going to talk about a lot of things moving forward.
got a lot moving here, a lot going. Perfect. Thank you. And Anne, you're up.
I'm not sure what my aha is, though listening to everyone here is kind of making me feel. I'm not sure what I'm coming up with. I'm just kind of half present here.
Okay. And so here's a perfect opportunity. I love this because this every moment has that possibility of abundance or scarcity. I only am half here. We don't know what's happening with Anne. Maybe she was up all night with something. Maybe she hasn't slept in 3 days, or maybe she's preoccupied by something that's going on in her life. We don't know. Right. But even in this moment, she can find something if she chooses that she loves. So you might have heard anything that you remember, Anne, that I believe that it's there for you. You heard somebody say one thing, and it could be the weirdest thing. It doesn't even matter what you remembered. But you remember something that somebody, myself or somebody else, said that just happens to be staying with you and you don't even know why. Is there anything that you can find that you saw? You can't even remember exactly what they said, but they said, I don't know, the color blue. Yeah. So can you tell us what that was?
It was Erin's aha. I can't remember what she said now, but I just remember it sticking in my head.
Uh-huh. And so then there's an abundance. It was to do with what?
I think it was to do with abundance, or I see my head's just gone, but I just remember thinking when she said it hit me.
And then there's an abundance of support. So how is it that we're constructing our world? Because Erin's right here. Erin, will you say your aha again? Briefly.
Yeah, I was just typing it. When you notice abundance, you receive more abundance. Right. Or like, and I didn't use the word receive, but when you see it or when you open your eyes to see it, there's so much more available.
Which is exactly what happened now. Anne goes, well, there isn't anything around. Yeah. There is no observation. There is no aha. Oh, one just came. And there's an abundance of support for her to find that if she can't find it in the moment. And did you see Anne's energy shift as that happened? Can you feel it? I mean, she might still be either preoccupied or tired or, you know, unable to be fully present here today. And also she's not letting that disturb her. And she didn't just go away before the ahas so that she wouldn't have to say that. So all of those are abundant things. And that's starting to shift the energy in her. Can you see it? And then your inspired action. What's the one thing that you're going to do?
And awesome.
Yes. Shavasana. And isn't that a perfect action? That's what I would be doing in that state. Recharge the batteries and go inward. Fantastic. Clarity there. Beautiful. Thank you. Judy, I don't know if you, I can see you here, but your video's not on. I don't know if you can speak or not. You might just be in listening mode. Maybe you even told me you're in listening mode today. I can't remember. But I'm just going to give
a sent a thing in the chat box.
Okay. Okay, perfect. About not being able to. Okay, okay.
So, but she also said, her inspired action is clearing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, clearing out space so that she can have a more spacious 2019.
Space, perfect. And there's an abundance of support and abundance of people who will help us speak when we can't, right? And sometimes that's a perfect metaphor too. Judy right now is in a position of not being able to speak. And sometimes we can raise our voices and not speak in place of that person, but speak to help them speak. So that's helping in an answer to Marie's question too. If Marie is just going to not allow herself to be abundant because Judy might not be able to talk, she can't be there aiding Judy and allowing her to have a voice. It's just another level of answer to Marie's really astute question, right? Can chew on that one for a little bit. Thank you so much. Great ahas, great presence, great honesty. It's like, wow, I'm only half present here right now, but I'm going to participate. Great. You know, I didn't raise my hand right away, but I'm raising it now. You inspire and amaze me. I cannot say that often enough. What a fabulous group of visionaries and dream enablers that is gathered here. So have a fantastic week, everyone. Remember, once again, the High Ticket Virtual Retreat is on. We have leaders in our community who stepped up, and you can lead from any position always. And know that as we're playing the game, many, many more things are happening than we were going to be talking about to help you construct the highest level, actually enact the highest level of your company. And so more things are happening than we may be speaking about or than we may know consciously in the moment. So have fun with the game. Remember, it's called the game for a reason. And Sheila, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Did Sergio say something? I'm not sure.
Yes, Sergio was right at the very beginning. And he's going to practice and watch some of the previous videos. And I so am glad that you said that, because that happens to me too. It's like, did you speak or did you speak earlier in the call? But look at how you're all there watching out for each other and making sure there's a voice and making sure there's space. And I love that. This is an extraordinary community with extraordinary support and skills and just a deep, deep caring. I can hear that. It's like, wait, make sure you have a voice. It's beautiful, right? So thank you, everyone. Again, you're $10 for the High Ticket Virtual Retreat to be engaged in the game. If you haven't sent it in, man, send it in today. Today's the deadline. And that's at, I think it's michellegunderson.com/the game or game, I forget. But somebody knows and somebody in this community could tell you. You could go ask on the Facebook page. You could ask Emily. There's an abundance of resources and help and support for you on this campus, right? So have a great week. I will see you for practical applications. Remember, you can post your questions for that. We're going to be talking about more about offers and sales and then taking it online next time too. But bring your questions about offers and sales to the Tuesday call. See for the next step in the abundance call, and we get to start out with one of those two pieces. But we'll certainly hear that really cool song that became a refrain in Mexico 2 years ago. Super fun. That will help really have us understanding abundance and how we create practices in and around it at a whole new level. So have a great week, everyone. And I will see you all soon. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're so very welcome. Absolutely my pleasure.